You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
I'm thinking of all of those families and teachers that are breathing a sigh of relief probably today as they start school holidays, especially teachers that are either in the room or already gone on holidays. And just encourage you to keep them all in your prayers. Pray that the Lord will refresh them and give them supernatural strength and joy as they have time off. Well, the Holy Spirit's already been speaking this morning. I don't know whether you've heard, but actually even from our pre-service prayer, there's the Holy Spirit's thread of the same message through our songs, through our communion, and through what I'm going to say. So praise the Lord for that. He is working even when we don't see it. Amen. Well, would you believe it's exactly a year ago to today that I spoke to you for the first time about this community being a place to be family? A whole year. Where has that time gone? By the way, happy birthday, Steve. And then during February this year, in our Heart for the House series, we looked at what it practically looked like to be a place to be family. And many of you spoke to me throughout those weeks, affirming how much this resonated with you and in your hearts. And then, of course, we held our family forums. And one of the strong threads that came through those were ways to be family and a place of being family together. And this week we're kind of in a little bit of a, not a halfway point, but a stop between our series on our discipleship culture and where we're going to commence next week, our focus on prayer. And I have a sense that this is a very timely and significant time, not only for our RBC family, but also for this city. Right along with that, I believe the Holy Spirit has been continuing to speak to me about doing and being family better and cementing this into our DNA because we have been created for life in community. The more conversations I have with people from both within our family here as well as outside, the more I hear that longing for community, that longing to be embraced, to be loved, to be valued as we do life together. This is not something that can be fulfilled without Jesus, of course. But we have a part to play in that as well. You know, Nikki Gumbel, the founder of the Alpha Series, recently said, "Church is an organization, is not an organization you join. It is a family where you belong. It's a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you find healing." And of course, we know that healing is Jesus. Amen. Psalm 133 says, "Look at how good and pleasing it is when God's people," or other translations say, "when families live together as one, because it is there that the Lord has commanded the blessing, and that is everlasting life." And we know that the family is paramount in importance to God because it is mentioned right throughout the Bible. Paul highlights the importance of family and specifically the family of believers or the church when writing to the churches of Ephesus and the communities around Asia Minor. He reminds them that they are no longer strangers and aliens. They are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, where Jesus is Lord, where the whole structure is joined together and grows into the temple of the Lord, and where we grow together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And remember, we're not talking about buildings and structures here. We're talking about us, each one of us together. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary still defines family as the basic unit in society. However, right now, this unit is being eroded from every angle. And as I was preparing to lead the prayer for our Rockingham region last Sunday night at the Southern Corridor Prayer, I felt the Lord impressed on me this passage from Psalm 68, 4-6. It says, "Sing to God, sing in praise of his name, exalt him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before him. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. In this time, in this day, where our society is becoming more and more fragmented, where loneliness is growing to epic proportions and families are crumbling, hope is being stripped away and mental health issues are increasing, there is one thing that hasn't and doesn't change, and that is that Jesus is still Lord, and he is still a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, a healer of broken hearts, and he sets the lonely in families. That has not changed. Where are those families where the lonely can come? That's where we come in. We are the family of God. In 2021, one website stated, "Families are vastly different, but they all function under one single premise: shared love and commitment." I want to suggest to you that there is only one family that functions under a single premise of shared, perfect love and commitment, and that is the family of God. That is our potential. We know that we're not perfect yet, but we do know that perfect love of God that casts out all fear, that binds the brokenhearted, that sets the lonely in families. And of course, if we are in practice only the family of God on Sunday, and even then we just come to do our duty and tick off our requirement card to be a good person, how will we reflect this perfect love of Christ? In fact, as Paul encourages us, and you might remember me saying weeks ago, how will we outdo each other in love? We've just spent, as you've heard already, 5 weeks exploring what it looks like to have a culture of discipleship, where we as disciples of Jesus follow his ways, his works, and his words, and then share that with someone else, building relationships with one person at a time, with the hope that one day they will become part of the family by becoming a child of God. But guess what? We can't do that by sitting in our favourite chair on Sunday and doing nothing else. Just think for a minute what happens when you have a family gathering for someone's birthday or Christmas or whatever event might bring your extended family together. Do you all walk in the front door and then just sit down and do nothing? That'd be a bit weird. Of course we don't. You might bring something to contribute. You might chat to each other and catch up on family events you've missed. You might have even made preparations during the week beforehand. Hopefully not hurt. But also you've years of relationship and sharing and love and commitment history outside these gatherings. Relationships take time, take effort, and many times also take heartache too. How many can join me with an amen on that one? This morning I want to provoke our thinking and practically consider two aspects, but I want to look at them from the lens of the greatest commandment from Matthew 22, and I'm sure we all know it well, but let's read it again. From verse 37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This word "hang" brings an interesting image for me. Think of a door hanging on its two hinges. All the law and the prophets hang on the commandments of love the Lord our God and love our neighbour. You can't have the door swinging well on one hinge, can you? It'd be a little bit wonky and would not work. We can't have one of these without the other. We can't love God without loving our neighbour. And we can't love our neighbour well and perfectly without loving God. We as the family of God love God with all our heart and soul and mind, and some translations say with all our strength, and we must love our neighbour as ourselves. What kind of love is Jesus talking about here? In this passage, the type of love is the Greek word agape love. It's sacrificial love, a love that unites, that heals. It's a love of choice, not out of attraction or obligation. It's the kind of love that even the world know about and remember on Anzac Day and Remembrance Day. And it's the love that we remembered earlier as we took the emblems of communion together. Jesus explains it in John. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Notice the word remain here. We are abiding in Christ's love every day, 24/7, not just when it suits us. Just as the Father has loved us, we love. It goes on, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Here is the agape, the sacrificial love again. It's used 106 times throughout the New Testament. He goes on, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." This love is one that lays down our life for our friends. It's one that denies our fleshly desires as we remain in Christ's love from Monday to Sunday, so that we can go and bear fruit that will last. It's a love that might say, "I will go and clean up a single mum's yard instead of watching the footy, as some of you did last week." It's a love that puts down our own pride to humble ourselves to serve rather than desiring to be served. It's a love that will make time in a busy day to be a listening ear to someone who is struggling. By loving each other, we are remaining in the love of Christ. It's a love that we are called to do and be. And just to clarify, nowhere in the Bible does it say that this kind of love is only for your pastors or your home group leaders. All right? All of us are called to love and serve in the name of Jesus. So I want to revisit two areas that we show love, and I want to ask the Lord to give us his heart and show us how we can impact these for his purpose. Remember Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So the first area is for our community here at RBC. At the beginning of the year, we launched our Care Hub. We gave you some ways you could volunteer to serve in our community. We launched our prayer chain and our care cards that look like this, for you to let us know if you were in need in any practical way or if you needed prayer. And recently the Lord has been speaking to Bridget and some others about further developing our care hub to care for all that are connected to our RBC community. We will be looking at extending opportunities for more prayer. We will be building a team to visit you and to care for you in this church family, to give practical help in many different ways. And we'll be praying about ways to connect the generations in discipleship moments so that, as Sean said last week, we are not only making disciples, but we can continue to be discipled as well. However, none of this will happen with just one person. And so over the month of October, during our prayer month, we're going to be prompting you with prayer points to pray for the Lord to challenge and to show us where we can be called to participate. Because this is a family thing. It's not just one person. At the end of the month, we'll get together with those who feel a calling to help coordinate and be involved in different aspects of our care hub in preparation for next year. Caring for each other is a vital and important part of being family together and belonging to community. One British American poet once said, "Love each other or perish." They're strong words. Love each other or perish. The second aspect of our obedience to Christ's commands of loving our neighbour is to look beyond our family of believers and ask ourselves, how can we show the love of Christ to maybe my person of peace or my physical neighbour or someone I come in contact with? And I'm going to steal a thought from our small group this week where we considered this. We saw that video about the shoeboxes earlier on. Think about these Christmas shoeboxes that we're packing and sending overseas as practical conduits of love, so to speak. We've seen in the videos over the last couple of weeks how one box can not only bless the life of one child as the Lord answers their prayers for some material thing, but it also touches their parents, their extended families, and their communities with impact, and many come to know Christ. Something seemingly small to us, and in a way not really costly, has huge eternal impact. But what about here at home in this Western world that we live in? Imagine the response if you gave one of our children or grandchildren a shoebox. Of course, they may love it for a few minutes, but the novelty would wear off quickly and it would not have the same value or impact. So, what shoebox can we give to members of our community here in the city of Rockingham or wherever we contact? Those around us each day that need Jesus. Those who are fatherless, who are lonely, or desperate to feel loved and valued. As this world continues to reject God, our community needs a church that is, as John says, remaining in Christ's love so that we can lay down our lives for one another and for those who need Jesus. Our community needs a church that is family, who gives that perfect love that proclaims the hope of the world, a family that is not judgmental, but flowing in grace, acceptance, not just tolerance, and love. And that is Jesus' love. That is what the family of the church provides. The love of God is manifested as we love each other within this family. And then we go out. Our community needs us to be, as Matthew 5:14 says, the light of the world, a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. A place where our community seeks us out because they know they can find help and they can find God. Are we a community that would be sought out for our love? Or do we still have remnants of judgmental attitudes and spiritual pride that says we are better than them. That was what the Pharisees did in Jesus' day. How and where can we love like Jesus loved, with that sacrificial agape love? I want to invite you to pray with me, and pray with me not only today but throughout the coming month, the words of this song that we often sing. Lord Jesus, that we will be a generation that rises up to take our place with selfless faith, that we will see revival as we pray and seek you, that the Lord will heal our hearts and make them clean, that our eyes will be open to the things unseen, and that he will show us how to love like he has loved, that our hearts will be broken for what breaks his heart, so that everything we are and do are for the kingdom's cause and for his glory. That RBC will be a family for the glory of God. And if you agree with this prayer, then you can say amen with me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.